Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we continue our expectations series today. We're talking about a couple of players with very interesting kind of a crossroads points in their careers, one due to age and one due to really a positional availability. And Rasheen Ali and Chidobe Awuzie. And joining me to talk about these guys, we have the great pleasure of having Jeff Zurebeck. Jeff, how are you doing?
Good, Ken. Always good. Always good to talk to you.
A great opportunity always whenever we get a couple of minutes at camp or we get to talk here, always extremely informative. But let's talk a little bit first about Rasheen Ali, who is entering year three, now 25 in February. And very much like last year when we talked about Ali then, does not have a secure spot on the roster.
Yeah, no, I think he will be one of the more higher profile guys just because this is his year three who are going to start camp on the roster bubble. I think that's only intensified because of everybody knows the process that they took to drafting Adam Randall. You know, we've said this over the years, like mid to late day three picks are no longer locks to make the Ravens roster. There was always this talk about, the Ravens drafted him as a rookie. He's on the team. But we've seen in recent years them not be afraid to move on from mid to late round picks. However, this is the owner's pick. Yeah. So I think we're proceeding that Adam Randall will be on this football team. And it is Rasheen Ali's role or responsibility to win a spot. And I think, as always with Rasheen, it's going to be a combination of can he do enough on special teams? Can he earn that one of those two kick return? We don't necessarily know how Anthony Levine's going to approach it yet because we're still learning about the new coaches. But can he earn one of those spots? Because, you know, if it's just a matter of running back, look, Henry's going to be on the field a lot. Justice Hill, as long as he's healthy, will be the third down back. And they may not use a whole lot of three running backs. That third running back is going to have to be on special teams. So I think that's going to be the big question for Rasheen.
Yeah, we go back 2 years, and I think it was ridiculously late. It might have been week 15 they got their first RB3 carry the entire season. So Mitchell had been in a game, and he maybe got a carry that was rescinded by penalty or overturned event, and then he didn't have another one until week 15. And so it was just absurd. So can do that. I've felt like the Ravens have kind of been playing with no underwear the last couple of years to have no backup bell cow back to Henry that they could really turn to. And I don't think Ali was that guy. No. And I don't think that Hill certainly is that guy. So the question is Randall that guy? And he seems more like it as a big physical back.
Yeah, he does. I mean, the question, as always, is going to be like the other things, like, can he pick up a blitz? And do they trust him as a potential returner? I mean, I frankly love a guy Randall's size coming downhill on a kick return. But, you know, his health was always an issue for him at Clemson. So are they going to trust him there? But you look at it, Ken, and you know, we're all like, we haven't seen enough so far to know how this is going to all play out with Declan Doyle and all the coaches. But, man, they only used two running backs in Chicago. And it wasn't quite a 50-50 split between Swift and Menungai, but it was kind of like 53-43 or something like that. Like the other guys, the other running backs that they had on the roster played 15 offensive snaps or less. So if you project that now, when he was in Denver, Doyle, things were a little different, but he was a tight end coach or whatever at that point. So we're looking for clues, but if they follow the Bears script, you're getting a lot of Derrick Henry and still a good amount of Justice Hill and really not much else in the running back. And I could see that playing out here too, with just their uncertainty about who the third and fourth back is going to be, or if they even carry a fourth back.
And you know, you make a really interesting point there that's worth a short rabbit holing here, is that we really don't know what's going to go on with the offense. Yeah. Not at all. We have, you know, the Peyton protege he kind of was. We have the fact that he worked last year in Chicago, but we really don't know what's happening there. On defense, we have a little better idea because the personnel in San Diego were similar, and the coaching tree is, you know, a Harbaugh tree in both cases, and they had Derwin James and Kyle Hamilton, for example, as key pieces of the defense in both cases. So I think we have a much better idea with Minter what's going to go on, and I still expect to be very much surprised by both pass rush scheme and and how they even align defensive packages particularly. I think they'll it'll be mostly big nickel, but I'm not sure. And offense, I've got no idea. I've got no clue.
I know. And anybody who says they do, they're kidding themselves. I mean, as far as outside the building. And you know what, Ken? Like, OTAs have started, which is limited viewing for us, and we'll get the two-day mandatory mini camp. I don't think we're going to learn a whole lot about that, too. I mean, I think we've already seen Jesse is going to play things very close to the vest. So I imagine they'll want to use this. I think the schedule played out really well for them early with favorable matchups, and they'll also want to take advantage of the element of surprise and not put a whole lot on film of how they're going to look when the season starts. And I'm not sure. But when you do the roster breakdown, okay, they're not going to keep a fullback, right? But they're also going to keep four tight ends, which is almost a certainty. Although some people think Durham Smythe, maybe not a definite. I can't see that. He came over from, Chicago to join Declan. So the roster spots are still going to have to come from somewhere. We know this is a team that prefers having – it's not wedded to, but the Ravens and DaCosta prefer 25, 25, and 3. And when you look at the roster – keeping four running backs leaves you maybe with assuming four tight ends are a guarantee, keeping four running backs, you're going to probably have to keep one less lineman or one less receiver. And do you want to do that?
Well, let's analyze that. And I agree completely. 25-25-3 is a Ravens tenet. I don't think they're going to shift from that, but you got two quarterbacks who are certain, and then you could have a third quarterback, but just two are certain. I think you got six wide receivers that are certain based on how this roster is constructed right now. I know there's people talking about maybe they acquire another vet. Four tight ends, I would say, is more likely because they're going to go away from the fullback, but they're just going to need to run the football. And so I think they're going to want two blocking guys who they can line up in the backfield if necessary and in line. Nine offensive linemen is the minimum for me. You have to have a 9 to 8, make 8 unit. I know you know this, Jeff, but I thought want to tell the audience, a 9 to make 8 unit every week. And to do that with the number of walking wounded that are there, you don't want to have, an extra guy that's not able to play. And then three running backs are guaranteed. And that's 24 out of 25 spots. Mm-hmm. That leaves you with one. Now, it could be a fourth running back. It could be a 10th offensive lineman. It might be another wide receiver. And I think it could be another quarterback. It could be any of those.
Yeah, absolutely. And, one of the things that we've talked about a little bit this offseason, it is clear that Dwayne Ledford, that they made him one of the highest paid offensive line coaches in football. This was a hire that was well underway before Jesse Minter was hired. Like, DaCosta wanted Dwayne Ledford. People in that organization wanted Dwayne Ledford. Now, Minter was a part of it and pushed it through. And, obviously Ledford wants to know who the head coach is. But he has a lot of say in this organization. I think we saw that in the draft with how much he loved Iwane. So if he wants a 10th offensive lineman, you say, hey, Dwayne, no. Like, we need to keep a fourth running back. So, yeah, I think your point is a very good one. I'm always of the mindset of keeping an extra offensive lineman.
Yeah,
we've seen that over and over again, the importance of it. You're going to have some young guys on that offensive line that are kind of improving. I think that's why the fourth running back spot could be tenuous. And a lot of times we say about a rookie, if you're going to make the team, you better do it on special teams. It's almost like the message, Rasheen Ali is not going to get carries over those first two guys. Now, could he occasionally get mixed in, Ken? Sure, yeah. Like, I think we saw last year, we were all surprised that he got the nod over Keaton Mitchell. And then I think it's 6 of the last 7 games when Justice Hill had the neck and was hurt, he had, I think, 10 offensive snaps or more. I was even surprised when I went back and looked at it. So they did, but that's a previous coaching staff. This is a new staff. It's set up differently. It's a new offense. And he's going to have to find his spot on that group. He's going to have to make an impression on a new set of coaches, running back coach Eddie Faulkner and Doyle, and Ledford is the run game coordinator. So him and the run game guy, so him too. So his safest bet on the team is to convince Anthony Levine that he needs to be one of those core guys that when Levine goes to DeKalb, Acosta and Minter. I need these guys. Rasheen Ali needs to be on that list to feel really good about his roster chances.
Yeah, I would agree. And if he's a guy who's, I don't think he makes the team as a fourth guy if he's not an every week activation, essentially, yeah. Like a 14, 15 plus games. I don't think he's a guy who you activate seven times. You say, you know, it's a luxury, but when we can have a second kickoff return guy and we'd rather have Ali than put Wester back there and have him take some hits that might make him unuseful for the punt return team. I don't think that's going to work. I think he has to either make it entirely or not at all. It's kind of like a defensive lineman in a way. If you're the fifth defensive lineman on the Baltimore Ravens, you have no special teams responsibility of significance because the only two teams you can play on are field goal kick and field goal block.
Yeah.
You can't do any punt return or kick return duties. So you can't escape snaps. So if you're Peebles or Benny, who are in my mind kind of fighting for the last roster spot on the defensive line, those guys are going to see snaps. And I would think the same for Ali, that he's got to make himself a guy who can be there. He's not a developmental player. He's a year three player. You know, you'd rather give that to a Bjornsson or maybe somebody else if you had the spot. Last year, I thought they honestly should have given a spot to Dellinger. And they didn't do it. So,
I would agree with all that. And I do say, Ken, I think I'm in the minority here. Now, I don't want to call myself a Rasheen Ali truther or any of that. But I do think I'm largely in the minority here where I have seen flashes of him where I think that there's some potential there. I think in the right situation, in the right roster, he could be a contributor. Like, I'm not saying, a guy who gets a couple, be a number two on another team. We were at the first OTA, he took a screen pass and he found a hole. I mean, this is all non-contact, but I thought he looked pretty good. I think I liked what I saw from him the first OTA. He looks big. He looks, you know, more sure of himself than we've seen. This is a guy that has had a lot of nagging injuries through college and stuff. And, you know, I think that held him back early with the Ravens. Obviously, he missed some time. So I think kid can play a little bit. Like, I'm not, but the question is, first of all, you could find running backs everywhere. Like, we know that. And how much do they value having that guy? And over what else they could find somewhere else, or how else they could use the roster spot, more importantly. So I can't imagine we're going to see Derrick Henry much in the preseason, even if Jesse decides to play some guys. Even Justice Hill, like we've seen in past preseasons, barely play. So he's going to get a lot of run in the preseason with Randall, and that's one of the more intriguing position battles to watch. And you know, it's just worth watching him on special teams, too, to see how that return position develops.
I think an important question to consider with regard to the whole competition in camp and in preseason is whether or not you're really at risk of losing him, or he's a high percentage practice squad player.
Yeah,
I don't see a lot of other suitors for a third year running back who hasn't really done anything, had a fumbling problem in college. It's, you know, hopefully he's beyond that. I do think, you know, the highlight of his season last year was the game against Cincinnati. They had two beat the crowding at the line of scrimmage plays. They had the 32-yard play to Hopkins. It was like a right over the middle kind of a
play. Right in the middle, where he probably could have taken it to the house, but he kind of looked behind him for contact,
And then they had a little 11 or 18-yard play, and I think that was the touchdown he scored. Yeah. I think it was two plays for 50 yards. I think it was Ali who got the ball on a quick out. And made something with him. They haven't made a lot of him as a receiver. You know, he's averaged 6.2 yards per target this last year, and they've got 11 targets. He played almost entirely passing downs, and he didn't really perform as a pass blocker. And that's unfortunate because without Hill, that was an opportunity.
Yeah, and no question. And look, you look at the running back coach, and people love Faulkner. I've said this other places. I got some unsolicited calls when they hired Faulkner. I'm like, wow. That guy fits the Ravens. He's such a good coach. But one of the things, Ken, that you had to grudgingly appreciate over the years was those running backs on the Steelers could pass block. Oh, yeah. And that's a must for Eddie Faulkner. To get on the field, those guys are going to have to protect and do all that stuff. And that's a clear area of improvement that we just haven't seen a ton of from him.
Yeah, the other good area for Faulkner is the Steelers running backs are missed tackle aficionados, and part of it is the scheme that they get the ball to them in space is an extension of the run game. They have these short passes to, but they force a ton of missed tackles, and so that's an exciting thing to consider. I think the entire run game scheme, even though they're kind of de-emphasizing it in the way they talk about it, is very well set to succeed here with the combination of Ledford and Faulkner and Doyle, hopefully being guys who can foster that. So I a couple of 2026 dilemmas for Ali. I think he definitely does need to dramatically improve that pass blocking if he's going to really find a role. To me, that's even more important than the special team stuff. Special teams, he's an okay special teams player, and he could improve that. Yeah. And he could be a good return man that is more valuable. But that didn't keep Keaton Mitchell active.
I mean,
Keaton Mitchell is a real return guy and a real runner.
Yeah, I still think that's one of the more biggest curiosities from last season. And they clearly sort of, I guess, pigeonholed. I don't know. They clearly felt like Keaton was too much of a one-trick pony or whatever. And Harbaugh would, I'm not putting words in his mouth. I think he said this during press conferences. He thought they were too predictable with Keaton Mitchell off on the field. Excuse me. But that's one of the things I really never understood. Their failure to commit to bigger roles for him, to find ways to get the ball in his hands, to find ways even to make him active early in the season.
Which is
crazy. But getting back to this, is there room for four running backs to be active on game day? That's a hard sell to me. I just don't know there is. But as we know, Ken, these roster decisions, not all of them, but most of them work themselves out by injuries where a guy on the bubble is on the bubble coming in, and then it becomes clear that he's on the team by like the third week. So we shall see, but he would be a guy I'd have on the bubble heading into training camp without a doubt.
All right. Well, fair enough. What else did I want to say? Anything? We talked about the waiver. So let's talk about what a good season and a great season looks like for him. And I think you're familiar with this, but I'll tell you my methodology. I take the 60th percentile result as a good season, 80th percentile result as a great season on what I think is a reasonable range of outcomes. I know there's a lot of finger to the wind, and you use whatever method you like, but what does a good season for Rasheen Ali look like to you?
Good season to me looks like he becomes a regular kick returner, because we've never seen him return punts, and I don't think we'll start seeing that. He becomes the regular kick returner, shows ball security, and shows the ability to crack the occasional long one. I think he averaged about 25 yards per return last year, maybe he hires that, and then he wins the third, running back job, is active every week, and mixes in maybe, a handful of offensive plays a game and just contributes in that way. It's hard to say with numbers just because not knowing Doyle's system and whether they're even get three on the field. But that would be, to me, him making himself a regular active guy where there's not a question that he needs to be active because what he does on returns, and he's good insurance on game days as the number three.
Yeah, I completely co-sign on that. I wrote it up slightly differently. Opportunity comes from a combination of injury, quality of camp and preseason play, and depth at the running back position that does not hold up. Not necessarily at the start of the season. So I think even on a good season, he could be cut and return from the practice squad every 2 to 4 weeks, say, still get his regular role. I think it would still be a good season. He continues that four-unit special teams role. And the return is the most important thing he does because he's actually touching the football. But he has to cover kicks, too, and that's it. That's important. Yeah. And he's active for 10-plus weeks, plays 25 to 75 snaps at running back with no particular statistical expectation. And I think the only thing I'd add to that is that the 10-plus weeks, whatever weeks he's on the roster, he better be active for almost all of them. I don't think he can be active for just a portion of his weeks where he's taking a 53-man spot.
Yeah, it just makes no sense. And getting back to, every team come late August, early September, have a running back that they'd like to keep, but it just doesn't fit. Like, there's dozens of those guys out there. And maybe Rasheen Ali in limited action or whatever, in extensive action this summer in the preseason, shows he can be, he's not that guy. But until then, he's in that kind of class. Like, and most teams usually stay with their own guy. If they have a running back opening, yeah, they try to keep the guy that they're going to probably have to cut towards the end of the summer. And there is going to be a guy there with the Ravens. They'll have at least one running back, if not two, on the practice squad. So we'll see how it plays out for him. He needs to make himself an essential guy, or I imagine the Ravens would take that bet and say, you know what, we'll probably get this guy back on the practice squad anyway.
Well, if you go through the waiver claims last year, I think there were 31, 32 guys across the entire NFL who are claimed, which is not insignificant. The Ravens got poached pretty badly with, I think, three initially. And then they lost a fourth, I believe, to a signing off their own practice squad, or maybe Dellinger took his time and then he left. I'm forgetting exactly who the fourth one was, but they lost Braid. They lost
Dellinger, right?
JAD. Yeah, Dellinger eventually. But I thought there was a fourth guy that went
Titans,
to Tennessee.
Titans. It was defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Who's on their team for a couple years. What the
it's
heck
not
his
Nichols,
name?
Is it? It was another guy, right?
No, it was not Rashad Nichols.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Yeah. I was just struggling with this, and it sucks to get old is all I can say. I'm not mapping that onto you, but I'm mapping onto me.
Yeah, no, I can picture the guy. Mm-hmm. I can picture the guy's face and just forgetting his name. CJ Ravenel.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
So a guy who was around and certainly played a fair amount here. Let's see. So let's go on to what a great season looks like here for Ali. How do you upgrade that from good to great?
Becomes a guy that gets they feel like they have to get involved in the offense and get him five touches a game or whatever it is on offense, and becomes more than just a special teams guy. Becomes a guy that, you know, has a role in the offensive game plan, and, you know, finishes with a – I know we had two touchdowns last year, I believe. Finishes maybe with four or five touchdowns. And, you know, I'm trying to think of all-purpose yards. He gets so little of a role. But I would say just a great season is he becomes a contributor, a guy people point to, sort of maybe not Bernard Pierce in a way where he's getting that many carries as the number two running back, but a guy that they can give the ball to a handful of times each game and establishes himself that he could break some big plays and be relied on.
Yeah, so I like that. It's a little different from mine because I think that his path to having a great year probably involves becoming a better pass blocker, because I think that's the area where he actually could beat out Justice Hill. Justice Hill wasn't great last year as a pass blocker, and if it's something that you know, he's a bigger dude than Hill to start with, I think it's possible that he could pick up that role. And he's already shown a little bit more as flashes as a receiver than he has as a runner, where he had seven carries for 24 yards last year. I can't get excited about that no matter what.
Yeah.
And yeah. So anyway, hopefully he's a guy who could do a little something there. And I think the other part of a great year would be that he's in the Ravens 2027 90 man plans, which I think as far as you can map ahead, even with a really good season this year, that he'd be in their 90 man plans. I don't think he can even, it'd be very difficult to have an 80th percentile outcome this year, which would guarantee him a roster spot next year.
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree with that. Plus, I mean, look, depends on Randall too, right? What do they have with Randall? You don't draft Randall for 1 year. They've been very clear, given his lack of experience at running back, that he's a developmental guy. So maybe they're penciling in year two.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, and adventure is the focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough, can make you feel overwhelmed, and can make you count down the minutes until the kids are back in school. I know I look forward to summer as a time to take a break, but as a self-employed person, time spent away from my work is time I stress over wasting. That's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp is a quality therapist who work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial therapist matching for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right on the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. and it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on 1.7 million client reviews. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support and therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
For a bigger role for him, but that obviously knocks Ali down a peg too in that in the process.
Right? Doesn't it, I do think they'd have serious risk at trying to pass Randall through waivers this yes. year with four units of sand left in the hourglass, effectively to do that. All right, let's move on. Talk about Chidobe Awuzie, and I always pronounce his name incorrectly. You guys usually call him Chido around camp, but very productive season last year at age 30. He's back with the Ravens on a fully guaranteed one-year contract for $5 million. I thought one of the really big re-signings of the offseason.
Yeah, understated too. He gave them everything they needed. I think he probably had maybe two rough games that he played 14, I think, started five. I think maybe there was two games where he got picked on a little. Like one of them, I don't think he played very well in week 18 against the Steelers. Another one I think was tied directly to the hamstring and him not being right. You know, you see what happens with him is, I mean, the more he plays, he's going to have some of the health issues. We've seen it. He hasn't played a full season since 19, I believe, since 2019. So turns 31 here very quickly. And you usually don't get healthier, as we all know, when you get older. But I liked how they used him last year. I thought he was one of DaCosta's best offseason moves last year. They got him for next to nothing, given the Titans, I believe, were picking up most of the freight there. And he was solid, and some of the fans see that. They see he played pretty well, but I think behind the scenes stuff, I think he's a character. He has some swagger to him. He's a fun guy. I think he was a good presence in the locker room. Seemed like some of the young corners gravitated towards him a little bit. I really like that re-signing. I agree with you, Kim.
Yeah, you know, this is an area where you expect an older guy like that, the older he gets, he'd become more limited in terms of what slot he could play in. But left corner, right corner didn't really seem to matter. He's able to handle that X receiver and try and do that. And he played 558 snaps last year. And there's a very high value to a guy who can play well over half of the snaps for an entire season, because cornerbacks, of course, get injured a lot. And DaCosta talks about bringing them along like pitchers and whatnot. But a great season. I'm 6.2 yards per target, an opposition passer rating of 86, and only one penalty in 480 coverage snaps, which is terrific. So also one of the best tackling cornerbacks in the entire league. So that was certainly an area where the Ravens had problems in the secondary last year, and he looked great.
Yeah, I think he allowed one completion or less in pretty much half the games he played. He played 14. I think there were seven games where he only allowed one catch or more. People didn't target him. I think he's a very smart player. I think that's very key in a Minter-led secondary, that these guys can pick up, they can play, they're versatile. There wasn't really, if you look at the Chargers, there's not one coverage that they played a ton. Well, they, you know, obviously there's going to be one that they lean on more, but it's spread out. He shows a lot of different looks, and I think having a guy with Uze's versatility really helps. And, you know, he was one of their priorities to resign. I think that's very telling. Usually when you sign a 30-plus corner, you're thinking, hey, if he gives us a good year, great. But they obviously want to see more of him. They like what they saw, and they brought him back for another year. We'll see how the cornerback room develops. I think the interesting thing, Ken, is this the year where they want to give TJ Tampa a chance, right? Like, don't you have to know at some point, this is year three for Tampa. He's a fourth round pick. People thought he should have been drafted higher. You kind of have to play him and give him a look. Obviously you earn the playing time. So how does that impact Uze? We'll certainly see about that. We'll chat more about that, but you know, I can't see, you know, the corners are going to play, and he's going to have five or six DBs on the field. So I can't see a scenario where Chido doesn't have a notable role on this defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's pretty clearly still the team's number three corner. But if you look at this team, they have almost an inverted success rate with cornerbacks. And here's what I mean about this. They've given some older cornerbacks in recent years chances. Ronald Darby is another one along with Luzia, who they've sifted through the talent they had pretty quickly and figured out who was going to help them. They actually figured out pretty quickly Jair Alexander wasn't going to help them, which is good. I wish they, you know, hadn't signed him originally, but they figured it out soon enough. And then in the other case of figuring out Rock Ya-Sin, they figured out very quickly where he fit in the totem pole. But Darby, they got real value out of for the year. He had a terrific year, very similar to what Awuzie did this last year. What they haven't been able to do is sift through their young cornerbacks and find the talent. And they've got a lot of potential young talent. You and I have talked before about, you know, having both sixth round cornerbacks injured is not a good thing, obviously, and that will set you back. But in addition, they had Marquise Robinson last year on the practice squad the whole year. I kind of feel like they didn't want to activate him because they didn't want to show him to the rest of the league in a sense. But there's a guy who played very well in the preseason, looked like he really deserved a spot or a chance at some point. They have Tampa, of course. And, you know, we saw Longer Beam, of course, get that interception yesterday, which I think just is huge for his potential return to meaning. I didn't even notice it, but Kone was there, and I marked off his uniform number as we are wont to do on the sidelines when we're at practice. And then I did read that he didn't actually participate in team drills yesterday.
Yeah, he was mostly doing individual stuff, and he did a lot of conditioning on a side field. Voorhees was in that boat. I don't know if there was an injury or an offseason surgery with Voorhees, or maybe he tweaked something. during the some of the offseason program. Jay Higgins was in that boat too. We saw him over there on the side field. But look, Ken, just to see Kone out on the field to me is remarkable. I mean, that was a major, major knee injury. And, you know, it was less than a year ago, probably what, like 10 and a half months ago, 10 months ago, because it was one of the early preseason games, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And look, they watching him last year, they felt early that he would contribute, not just make the team, but contribute. They really liked what they saw from him. Obviously, that got taken away. When you have one of these knee injuries, particularly at a position like corner, you don't know what the guy's ever going to be. Like, there's no assurances. But just to see him out there, I think was pretty impressive. And, you know, but again, as you said, it's just like you don't really know what you have with Tampa, right? Chandler Rivers is still a rookie. Londer Beam and Kone are essentially rookies because they lost. It's not just not playing in any games, Ken. You can't practice when you're on IR all year. Yeah. So you miss out on so many reps. So they're almost starting over. Keon Martin is kind of a nickel, so it's not the same thing. I think Uze is an outside guy, and he can play either side. But it's just you don't know what you have. I think you know what you have in Awuzie, and that's a valuable thing for a guy like Jesse Minter, who puts a lot of stock in the coverage on the back end.
Yeah, they've gone with the veteran guys in recent years, as we've talked about. And, you know, one of the interesting things about that is, does the versatility of Awuzie help you with the decision to allow Wiggins to travel? And Wiggins, you know, reportedly put his hand up for that role. I wouldn't say he had a great man coverage year. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't as bad as Humphrey.
Too hot and cold. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but you know, he's also was facing some of the best receivers in the league for a fair portion of the season. So I'll be interested to see whether they really want to use that again, or whether they want to go with fixed sides. And that of course help with responsibility transfers and handoffs a little bit more to have players know that. I asked Wiggins if he had a favorite shoulder for defending over in when he was at the podium last year. And he said, no, and it really didn't matter. But it seems to me that whatever you do, and I haven't really studied this any further than this, it's got to be a dominant hand skill to put your hand on the football. It just has to be. If you think about, you know, what you do with your brain to write and eat, and then, you know, what hand are you normally going to use to try and knock down the foot? It's got to be a dominant hand skill primarily.
Yeah. And, you know, Ken, that's another good point to bring up. Wiggins had an offseason surgery, and he was out there. And he didn't look 100% either. He was battling. And, you know, so, but it was good that he was out there.
What was his surgery for?
I remember, I don't know if you remember, but we asked Minter about it, and he goes, I'm going to keep that between me and Nate. And I was like, well, he was pictured in a hospital bed and he put the picture out on social media. So I don't think Nate would have minded if Jesse revealed it. I'm not sure if it was abdominal because there was some issue with that during the year, whether he needed one of those core surgeries or, I mean, yesterday I saw him get retaped at least once. So he looks like the lower leg was yesterday, but hey, I was told he's been there all the entire time. And he's whenever they've been out in the field, he's either been out in the field participating or on the sideline involved in meetings. So I think that's a very positive sign. I think, you know, when you look at people to take the next step and play with more consistency and more importantly, discipline, which you hope Jesse Minter and Mickens can coax out of the D-backs. I think he's the guy front and center that you sort of look at.
All right. Yeah, I completely agree on that. If we're talking about, let's go back to Ferruzia for a second, some goals for 2025 that I had. I'd like to see him become a ball producer again. This is something that's a big deal in Dallas and Cincinnati in their first five or so years of his career. Actually, during the first 5 years of his career, had 51 PDs and 6 interceptions. That's 10.2 passes defense per year. That's significant PD territory. And he really hasn't been that in his last couple of years. Just had one interception, I think, the last it'd be 4 years, right? Because he's entering his 10th season, which is our 10th season.
But, No, I agree with the ball production. I get, you know, like one of the things a lot of times you, and we did this with Rasheen Ali, you talk about kind of earning more playing time and all that. I don't think that should be. I like how much they played Uze. And in fact, I'd be fine with even not majorly, but maybe even tapering off a bit early in the season to get a, you know, get a younger cornerback involved. I just think at his age, with his injury history, you're playing with fire, Ken, if you're expecting him to play 60 or 70% of the snaps consistently.
All right. First of all, I'm with you entirely, but where does that fit with Marlon Humphrey?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm like Marlon Humphrey probably could take a few less snaps too.
I agree. I agree with you. I think, Ken, when you talk about this, is like, do they consider one of these guys as a possible safety?
Yeah.
Like, not consistently, but occasionally. And are they comfortable with Kayvon Wallace as their number three, number four safety. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we know the three safeties are going to be on the field now, but what happens if could they drop a cornerback back there in certain looks? Like, we know he loves to disguise. We know he loves to play different coverages and mix things up. Could there be looks where one of those guys, and I would think Marlon would probably be the best candidate, right? Like, everyone, there's some people coming out of the draft that thought Tampa was better suited to be a safety. Could he get a look there? Again, this is all stuff we're going to see over the summer and see how it develops. And I think their usage of defensive backs is going to be really interesting to watch. Like, who plays where, who's getting the opportunities. But yeah, I 100% agree. The whole Marlon thing is just shocking to me. Like, not that he's on the team, but there was no pay alteration. He wasn't there the first OTA. From my understanding, he comes and goes. He's been in the building. It's Minter obviously has been his position coach, so they know each other well. Like, but that there's been no alteration to his pay, and they're paying him like in every down shutdown corner. I just think it's been a kind of a huge surprise this offseason.
Right. So they had about a $7.3 million savings had they cut him. And so you'd expect him to give back a portion of that. It's still an enormous cap number for him, but like most people who don't understand the cap say, why should I pay $26.5 million for that or whatever it is? I mean, that's obviously most of that money was spent years ago. So in the case of Humphrey, completely agree, by the way. In fact, you've got the 1-2 guys there on my list who might be reasonable safeties.
Yeah.
Humphrey, a lot of portable skills for it. Off-man ball interceptions, meaning he makes interception on somebody else's target because he diagnoses. I mean, that's a very portable skill to the back end. I think Marlon had a bad year as a tackler, and I'm hoping most of that was due to the hand injury.
Yeah.
And he'll come back and be better than he was last year. So that's an interesting way. I'm and Tampa, I'm with you. I mean, I just think at 459, He's got safety speed, and he might have safety instincts, and he looks like a safety hitter. You see him in the sled drill yesterday, the way he throws the sled aside, and he's impressive.
You know what's something else about him, Ken? They got trade interest in him before the deadline last year. And I thought at time I thought he looked pretty good in the summer. Like, I thought, like, you brought up Maurkice Robinson. I wholly agree. I think we saw it early from Kone. And obviously Keandre Jackson as a safety winded up, you know, being a key part, albeit on special teams. I like their corners. I thought they played pretty well last season. And I thought Tampa was one of them. And I mean, hey, other teams apparently liked it too, because I know at least two teams that contacted the Ravens about Tampa at different points of last year to see if they're, because, you know, everybody's looking for quality cornerback depth, and to see if the Ravens felt like it was time to move on. But they kept him for a reason. They like him. A lot of this is on Tampa. He needs to stay healthy. He seems to be another guy who gets these nagging things. And yeah, missing a week or so of practice isn't a big deal for an established player. But when you're looking to earn a spot and build trust with a new coaching staff, even missing, you know, three or four practices is notable. So he needs to stay there. But that to me makes a lot of sense. I hate to take guys at off cornerback when before they've really gotten a chance to show they can or can't play it. Just because I think the position is so valuable, and they're going to run into a situation where they're going to be short on corners. It happens almost every year, but you know, you also want to get your best guys on the field, and it's a pretty crowded depth chart. And you know, we're talking about Cheeto here. You know, he was re-signed to play. They're not going to give him. I know it's only $5 million, but still, that's significant for them. So you know, I think he's in that third corner role, and how much he plays probably depends on how much they want Marlon Humphrey on the field in a lot of ways, and how much they want to look at TJ Tampa.
Yeah, turning your starting outside corners into either slots or safeties is like turning starting pitchers into relievers. You do it only when it's the last resort there. All right, wonderful. Let's talk about a good season and a great season. What's your good season look like for Chidobe?
Good season looks pretty much similar to what we saw, I think, last year, that he plays around, I'd say, 55% of the defensive snaps. He's a reliable guy. I think he gave up one touchdown last year. I think it was one touchdown he was credited for, that he continues that, and just plays really solid defense and maybe gets his hands on a few more footballs. And, you know, available maybe for, you know, 80% of the games. I think how much he played last year was a step forward for him, given his recent career. I don't think you can go into it realistically and say we're getting 17 games out of him. I think that's asking a lot given his age.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. On a good season, I'm having healthy for 15 plus. He's never challenged for the outside cornerback job in dime. Okay, so dime ends up being, if the Ravens play well, it could be over 30% of the snaps, but it's probably 25% plus of the snaps, and it's their second most used package. So if, you know, that's a significant role, and he at least should be on the field for that. And he may play rotationally in other big nickel packages. He continues to play at a level that somewhere in my mind is between 24 and 25 is realistic, because I think given his age, I'd have to expect him to take at least a small step back, even in a good year, which certainly had a great year, I think, last year, and be dropping a little bit. Plays the run well, fits well with Ravens secondary in terms of creating opportunity for coverage snaps, sacks. I think that's a big thing for the Ravens, is how that coverage and the pass rush interacts together this year. Just like pitching and defense in baseball, you know, they interact so much in terms of creating opportunity for each other. I don't have any specific amount of ball production that I would tag to him with a good season. I think if he had another zero interception year where he was still, you know, knocking a few balls down and otherwise holding the opponents to a reasonable opposition passer rating, not allowing a bunch of TDs, that'd be terrific. And doesn't even have to have an interception to meet my good season there. What does a great season look like?
Great season. And I just don't know how realistic this would be, but a great season I would think would be to start more games, you know, probably double digit starter, get a couple picks, and just become a high quality, not become because he's been this, but just become a reliable quality cornerback who, you know, forces mistakes, rarely gets picked on, is able to go toe-to-toe with these receivers in this division. I mean, you look at it, Metcalf and Pittman and Chase and obviously T. Higgins. And I know the Browns spent some draft capital on receivers. They're still relatively unknown. But they're going to be challenged. And holding up to that challenge, being able to go toe-to-toe with some of the top guys that they're going to face and just being almost starting two-thirds of the games, I think that would be great. I agree with you. I don't know how realistic it is, but if we're projecting, that would be more than enough to justify, or actually to far exceed his $5 million a year.
Yeah. If he were to start, you know, two-thirds of the games, it almost certainly means there's an injury to one of the other players. And that's unfortunately, that's very realistic that it could happen. And I said, confounds the aging curve by maintaining results from his outstanding 2025, starting with 50 plus snap share, which effectively duplicating the season from that perspective, but takes a step forward in terms of ball production without more than two penalties. He had one penalty last year. That's exceptional. Again, just a small reduction here. Post similar coverage metrics in terms of yards per target and opposition passer rating, but with a few more targets per coverage snap, I don't think that's going to be able to maintain at the same level, and no drop off in terms of tackling or run defense. So I want a little bit more than last year, but not too much more because he was awfully good last year. So.
Yeah, definitely. I can't. I'm trying to think last year or last offseason, he had to be in the top three as best offseason acquisitions last year that DaCosta made.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jeff, absolutely great talking football with you for an hour here. I appreciate you. I have about 45 minutes, but I appreciate you making the time for this in your busy schedule. Tell folks where they can find your work and anything you'd like to plug or promote.
Yeah, I'm obviously at The Athletic. We're doing something cool now, like where we're tweeting out pretty much most of my tweets now. My stories are gift subscriptions or gift stories. So you can click on them without having a subscription. I obviously would love if everybody subscribes, but I'm never one to tell people how they should spend their money. I do a pod a couple times a week called Baltimore Collective, and we're going to narrow this down a little to one per week as we get into sort of this more quiet time of the NFL schedule. But I think this is going to be an exciting year. I don't think they're done. I've said that many times. I think there will be a couple players, and it makes it interesting because it's what we talked about. You can project the roster now, but adding another guy at a certain position changes everything. So I think it will be an exciting couple of months for us that are out there watching the Ravens. And there's a lot to watch at these practices. There really is a lot to watch. I think that we talk from a team perspective, and a popular thing to describe the coaching is a new energy. This isn't about us, Ken, I'm well aware, but it provides a new energy for us too. We learned, like, yesterday or at the practice on Tuesday, it's like I was like trying to find Jesse Minter at times. Like, where is he? Where is he calling plays from? And all that is new to us. And that's really exciting. It's a really fun time to kind of be covering this beat now. It's a new era in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I liken the start of the season to kind of opening Christmas presents in terms of getting to see the new packages and scheme that they'll use on both sides of the ball. I've always gotten really excited in the past for new defensive coordinators coming in and seeing how they like to line up differently. But with Ledford and, you know, run scheme and how Doyle wants to set up, and, you know, where do Ricard snaps go?
Yeah,
like that's something I really want to see, is how do they line up differently? So I'm looking forward to it too, Jeff.
Yeah.
Other folks out there, please use hashtag film study mailbag if you would. That's a place for questions for this show. I'll try and direct them properly, whether that means answering with a 1 to 3 minute video or having you on for a short, which I love to do. Jeff, thanks again for joining me.
I appreciate it, Ken. Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.